Glenn Beck. The Blaze Radio Network.
It's said that any society is three missed meals away from chaos. Think of that. We saw it in New Orleans when the levees broke. 3 days and it's chaos. Three skipped meals in any society and it's chaos. Have you solved your food problem yet? Imagine what would happen if those that depend on you had no access to food because of whatever is going on in the world. The last thing you want to do is suffer through a crisis without access to food. And that's why I encourage you to take decisive action now while you can to protect yourself and your family by building an emergency food supply. My Patriot Supply is standing by to help right now. This week, their four-week food supply is $99. That's 140 adult servings of easy-to-cook food that lasts up to 25 years. But you got to order now. Call 888-411-6875 or visit preparewithbeck.com. Limit two at this special $99 price. But the number to call is 888-411-6875. Or you can go online at preparewithbeck.com.
There was a time on Earth, within the past 200 years or so, that 85 to 95% of the world's population was mired in abject poverty. During the previous 7,000 years, only the ruling class never had to wonder where their next meal was coming from or whether they would have shelter from the elements. Today, that number is down from 95% to 9.6%. And the nation whose guarantee of freedom and equal opportunity, not equal outcomes, and opportunities for entrepreneurship and trade have spawned such incredible prosperity among its people that they have shared and spread that prosperity around the world, as well as taught others how to gain it for themselves. This one nation is the United States of America. America has been the single biggest force in changing the fortunes of the world, more than any other nation ever conceived. As such, you would assume that that nation would be celebrated, and with many, it is. But with others, it's mocked, ridiculed, derided, blamed, and demonized.
You have a long list of the terrible things we've done. Can you think of anything good we did?
Not off the top.
Do you regret setting those bombs?
Not at all. And the reason is no one was hurt, no one was killed, property was destroyed. Now let me ask you this. If your government enters an illegal, immoral, unjust war and is killing 6,000 people a week, how do you stop it? What would you do?
Stuff we have done overseas is now brought right back into our own front yard.
America is the greatest sin against God.
And then there are those within its own borders who have sought to fundamentally transform it.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Ever since communism took root in Russia and it became the Soviet Union and began spreading its philosophy around the globe, the United States has been fighting its spread from the outside. The more difficult battle, however, has come from within. Even with the freedom, prosperity, and quality of life in America, for a variety of reasons, there have always been those who were dissenters. At the turn of the 20th century, men like Teddy Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson adopted progressive ideology.
The democratic program is this. To see to it that competition is so regulated that the big fellow cannot put the little fellow out of business.
In addition to believing the Constitution to be a living, breathing, changing document, like socialists and communists, progressives believe more in the government than in the individual, and that through the power and influence of government, the lives of all people can be made equal, that social justice can be achieved. The phrase social justice has long been a euphemism for socialism and communism. And early in the 20th century, progressives like Teddy Roosevelt used it often.
Our purpose is not to impugn the courts, but to emancipate them from a position where they stand in the way of social justice, and to emancipate the people.
Progressives share much in common with both socialists and communists, but progressives are simply more patient, willing to progress toward that social justice rather than bring it about immediately through revolution. There were also men like Eugene Debs, who in 1901 founded the Socialist Party in America. Debs would run against Roosevelt and Wilson in 1912 for the presidency, gaining 6% of the popular vote. Socialist muckraker, or investigative journalist, Upton Sinclair, was one who was striving to make a big difference in the perception of the American people toward capitalism. In 1906, he wrote the book The Jungle, about the horrific plight of American immigrants working in Chicago meatpacking plants, and how badly they were treated and how poorly they were paid. Americans reacted to the unsanitary conditions of the meat industry and demanded legislation to address it. Nothing much came of Sinclair's account of the workers' plight. Of the reaction to The Jungle, Sinclair said, "I aimed to the public's heart, and by accident, I hit it in the stomach." Part or even all of the reason for that reaction just might have been that the story of the workers was fictional, entirely made up. The investigative part, the true part of his novel, was the story of how meat came to the consumers. The book did have an effect on labor unions, however, helping to drive them even further to the left. There was a reason that Soviet Chairman Vladimir Lenin said, "Trade unions are the school of communism." In 1919, the Communist Party in America officially formed. Then, 10 years later, undisciplined corporate excess, corruption, and bad policies, following a decade of unprecedented American growth and prosperity, the stock market suddenly crashed, and the Great Depression was set off in the United States. In 1920, the Harding Coolidge administration took a hands-off approach by government in dealing with an even deeper depression than that of 1929, except to cut spending in half. The economy bounced back almost immediately, and the Roaring Twenties ensued. In 1929, however, the administration took the opposite approach. President Hoover felt intervention was the way to deal with the crisis, and in 1932, newly elected progressive Democrat Franklin Roosevelt was much more committed to government intervention and more government programs. Strangely, despite the fact that the Depression lasted another 13 years in America, much longer than the rest of the world, due to FDR's so-called New Deal, with sky-high unemployment, rationing, inflation, and, in general, over a decade of misery, self-proclaimed experts credit him with lifting America out of the Depression.
"We have a long way to go, but we are on the way."
In reality, only the massive manufacturing effort of the American war machine during World War II was finally able to nudge the United States back into prosperity, near the very end of the war, in 1945. By the 30s and 40s, suspicions were rampant that communists had infiltrated the highest levels of the U.S. government. Although hardcore proof was hard to come by, and 144 communist USA party leaders were put on trial for planning violent revolution. The initial five were tried, were convicted, but the Supreme Court brought an end to the remaining prosecutions, ruling they could only be tried for their actions, not their belief. As for beliefs, even U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt seemed to share quite a lot of ideology in common with communists. This was his proposal for a second Bill of Rights.
"We have accepted, so to speak, a second Bill of Rights, under which a new basis of security and prosperity can be established for all, regardless of station or race or creed."
The rights outlined by FDR, work, rest, and leisure, health protection, care in old age and sickness, housing, education, and cultural benefits, these were all rights that were also included in the Soviet Communist Constitution. The late 1940s and 50s were a dangerous time for the United States. The Soviets had just successfully tested their first nuclear weapon. After Soviet spies had stolen the technology from America, communists had just taken over China, and North Korean communists had invaded South Korea, bringing us into yet another war. And a senator from Wisconsin, Joe McCarthy, claimed to have the list of some 57 communists in the State Department. That number later grew to 81.
To call them Democrats is an insult to the millions of loyal American Democrats. They shouldn't be called Democrats. They should be referred to properly as the Commie Crap Party.
The charge sparked investigations, Senate and House hearings.
Are you a member of the Communist Party? Or have you ever been a member of the Communist Party?
And eventually expanded into Hollywood entertainers. Some actors, directors, and producers were eventually blacklisted and not allowed to work any longer in Hollywood.
Have you no sense of decency, sir? At long last, have you left no sense of decency?
Then came the social upheaval of the 1960s. As the real threat of nuclear war from the communist Soviets and the battle against communist North Vietnam expanded into South Vietnam, massive change was taking place in America. Music and art changed. Fashion, attitudes about sex and love. There were multiple assassinations, and radical groups like SDS, the Weather Underground, and the Black Panthers springing up.
Are there communists in this organization?
Sure, man. There's a lot of communists. You'll see. When you come in and listen, you hear people talking, you can judge for yourself whether they're communists or not.
We're going to be on the streets and in every institution in this country from now on.
We're going to replace capitalism with socialism.
The politics in this country that's relevant to black people today is the politics of revolution.
All of this made for the perfect breeding ground for a Marxist community organizer named Saul Alinsky to significantly influence young minds. Alinsky was a Marxist agitator who believed that people could be agitated even if they didn't know they needed to be.
People must want something. And if they don't want it, then you induce the appetite for it. You can't very well want strawberry shortcake if you've never eaten strawberry shortcake, you know. You at least get the flavor and the taste around. And also you start pointing out that other people have so much strawberry shortcake that they throw out half of it. You don't even have any. You know? I mean, you start agitating. That's what's meant by it.
So after having stopped Germany in World War I, defeating the Nazis and the Japanese in World War II, stopping the spread of communism from North Korea, and fighting off infiltration inside the nation during the first half of the century, America was in the midst of successfully winning the Cold War and the threat from the Soviets from without, and the communist, Marxist, socialist movements within. But the youth, affected by Alinsky's rules for radicals, for Marxist revolution, would grow up heavily influenced by him. Yet, with a critical difference, rather than protest and agitate the government, they decided it might be better to effect change from the inside of the political system. That on our next episode.
Glenn Beck.
It's said that any society is three missed meals away from chaos. Think of that. We saw it in New Orleans when the levees broke. 3 days and it's chaos. Three skipped meals in any society and it's chaos. Have you solved your food problem yet? Imagine what would happen if those that depend on you had no access to food because of whatever is going on in the world. The last thing you want to do is suffer through a crisis without access to food. And that's why I encourage you to take decisive action now while you can to protect yourself and your family by building an emergency food supply. My Patriot Supply is standing by to help right now. This week, their 4-week food supply is $99. That's 140 adult servings of easy-to-cook food that lasts up to 25 years. But you got to order now. Call 888-411-6875 or visit preparewithbeck.com. Limit 2 at this special $99 price, but the number to call is 888-411-6875. Or you can go online at preparewithbeck.com.